Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah Kid Podcast, the IKP. Welcome back, let's get it. How's everybody feeling on this wonderful Wednesday? So we got a lot to get into. NFL training camp has started. I think the past few days has really been a good one for me. Getting a lot of making some connections and so forth, obviously trying to grow the brand, trying to grow the pod even more. So just been a lot going on, but we got a lot of news to cover. We got some massive contracts that were signed, that I really want to get into. So let's not waste any time. Obviously, you know how we give it up. First and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favored host, Isaiah Kitt of the Isaiah Kitt Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. You could have chose any other podcast. You could have been listening to music. You could have watched Netflix. You could have been doing anything else, reading a book, but you chose to listen to me. Just for a little bit, right? Thank you. Thank you to everyone that is listening. First-time listeners. Shouts out to all the first-time listeners. I'm assuming that we're going to have some first-time listeners for the next coming weeks as the NFL season gets going. We're just continuing to add to the listenership. And then always, very appreciative of the regular listeners. Greatly appreciated. So, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Justin Herbert, young superstar, star quarterback. He gets massive 5-year deal. That's worth $262.5 million. And you know, this was kind of expected. It wasn't a matter of will the Chargers extend and sign and give Justin Herbert a big deal. It was a matter of just when. It wasn't a matter of will they or would they. It was just a matter of when, the timing. That's all. That it was either going to be Herbert or Burrow next. And Herbert is a dude. Justin Herbert is a dude. I think in sports we overthink things. Like we've gotten to a point where we have so many personalities and so many unique perspectives, and which is fine. But this sort of pushback on Justin Herbert getting paid, and it's like he don't win playoff games. And it's like playoff games are hard to win. But no one, like in sports, we overthink things. And when it comes to contracts and certain player contracts, we overthink it. Don't overthink it. Justin Herbert is a dude. And it's been that way since he stepped foot in this league. Like, it's been clear very early on, even in his rookie year, he was a star and he has a total package. So when it comes to, of course, the Chargers, without a question, made the right decision. This is a franchise caliber, not only a franchise caliber, but this is a superstar caliber quarterback. Like, superstar caliber quarterback. So when it comes to it time to extend him or pay him the big money, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Okay, he hasn't won playoff games. Like, he plays for the Chargers, people. How many playoff games have the Chargers won in the last 10 years? Prior to judgment, like, it's a make or miss league. It's hard to win playoff games. But in terms of the total package, the physical traits, Herbert is damn good. The mental, the intangibles, they're all there. They're all there. Most of you guys have seen or heard about the quarterback docuseries on Netflix, and it takes a lot to play the position. Like, even with watching Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota, the amount of prep mentally, physically, and just the time that it takes to play the position, But not only just to play the position, but to be really, really good at the position. It's really hard. So with Herbert, we shouldn't question this bad boy. We shouldn't question it. I think it's crazy to think about the year that Justin Herbert got drafted. He was in a draft class, obviously, with Joe Burrow, Tua, and it's kind of crazy to think about it now, but Tua was being, like, the thought process of Tua being drafted ahead of Justin Herbert was, like, it was just common knowledge, right? Like, it was tank for Tua. And now, obviously, you know, 2020 is hindsight, right? But at the time, it was tank for Tua, and it made sense. It made sense to go with Tua as the second quarterback, right? It kind of made sense, even though there were some people very early on, even before the draft. Like, I remember TJ Houtsmanzada, he talked really, really glowingly about Justin Herbert, and he would go on some shows, and TJ Houtsmanzada would talk really, really highly of Justin Herbert and the physical traits and tools that he had. So, like TJ Houtsmanzada, along with a few others, not a lot of people, but TJ Houtsmanzada was kind of on the point prior to Herbert getting drafted. And then now it's clear that, like, Herbert is better than Tua, right? It's clear. Like, if you would have surveyed 32 out of 32 GMs, including the Dolphins GM, they would take Herbert in a heartbeat. And with Herbert and Burrow, it's like 1 and 2, or maybe it's 1A, 1B. Burrow's had more playoff success, right? So, but his contract, he gets big time guaranteed money, $185 million guaranteed. That's a little bit more than Lamar and Jalen Hurts. And what I say, this is an NBA contract. Like, Herbert definitely has an NBA contract. And if you're the Chargers, you couldn't feel any better about your quarterback. Because if I had to tell you, okay, if you couldn't have Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen as a Charger fan or, you know, somebody that worked in the Chargers organization, if you couldn't have Mahomes, you feel pretty good about Justin Herbert. There's not many guys as a fan base, or if you work in the Chargers front office, there's not many guys that you're taking over Justin Herbert, right? Like, there's not too many guys. Also, you know, you are in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you can already see they're a juggernaut. They're a damn juggernaut, and they ain't going away anytime soon. Once again, if you're asking me, hey, as a talent at the quarterback spot, you got to go against Mahomes at least 2 times a year. How do you feel about Herbert? Herbert, in his matchup versus Mahomes, Herbert has played well. And in Kansas City obviously has had their way with the Chargers, just like any other team in that division. But those games have been close. And Mahomes, and Herbert has gone toe-to-toe with the best player on the planet. That's how good the Chargers have it. So, you know, obviously more pressure is now going to be applied, not only for them just to get to the playoffs, but to actually win some playoff games, right? Like, more pressure is definitely going to be applied, and rightfully so. Right, with that type of deal, like, it's now time to win playoff games. Yes, but in that same sense, we all know, yes, you can be really, really talented as a quarterback, and you know you can put up great numbers and have some great performances, which Justin Herbert has done, and he's done all of those things in his first 3 years, right? But in terms of winning big and us, you know, like I said, there's going to be more pressure applied. We cannot deny the fact nor forget the fact that I think for now it's kind of hard to get around it, but the Chargers, they have wasted Justin Herbert's rookie contract years with subpar coaching. And so when we're talking about playoff wins or lack thereof, I think that is a component. A lot of this is a component of subpar to some bad coaching, right? And we know that's the formula to capitalizing when you have a young franchise quarterback. And I think the Chargers have absolutely blown that opportunity. Now, luckily, the funny thing about Herbert's this contract, instead of his cap number in 2024, instead of his cap number being like 29.5 million, roughly, it's going to be about 19 million. So they save about $10 million in cap space just based off the fact that they signed him this early, which makes sense. The earlier, the better. This is another reason why we can't second guess or we can't continue to overthink about paying certain guys. But with a big time, like with you know, the stakes getting the stakes are getting higher, and like I said, more pressure is going to be applied. You know what that means, right? Like Brandon Staley is definitely on the hot seat, because when players get paid like this, like when players get historic type contract and historic type numbers with their deals, players don't get fired. Players don't get fired. Players, like when teams dump and invest this much money into players and into a particular player, they don't get fired. Coaches do. So, like I said, I think we want to talk about, oh, he doesn't win playoff games. And, okay, doesn't win playoff games. First rookie year, Chargers weren't that good. No one was really expecting them to be a playoff team. Second year, Chargers were bound to be a playoff team. Obviously, we all know about they had a couple heartbreaking losses down the stretch of that season. But then in week 17, they had an opportunity to if they beat the Raiders, they would have been in the playoffs. It was kind of like, it was one of those win or go home games. But if both of them tied, if both teams would have played for the tie, both teams would have been a playoff team. Point is, Herbert had some heroic, he had a really heroic fourth quarter overtime effort, but they end up losing. So they missed the playoffs. And then this past year, obviously, even despite all of the injuries, like he didn't have his left tackle, the inconsistencies and the up and down from the defensive play and the defenses and so forth, the Chargers finally get over the hump. They get to the playoffs. But then they blow a huge 27 point lead versus the Jaguars. And I'm not saying none of this unscathes Herbert, right? But I think time and time again, Brandon Staley has shown red flags, right? And those red flags just continue to bite themselves and show themselves in the most dawning times. So I get it. Yes, Herbert hasn't won a playoff game. That's great. I'm sorry. Like, playoff games are hard to win. Talented quarterbacks just don't, you know, they can't win playoff games by themselves, right? Like, you can't have an incompetent coach, can't have incompetent, defensively, you just can't give up certain things. And with this Chargers organization, you know, obviously, you have to give them, you know, this is obviously a no-brainer, paying Justin Herbert. So I don't know how much credit you get for that. But, okay, you give them a little bit of credit for that. But in terms of capitalizing and trying to best utilize and maximize Justin Herbert's rookie contract years, the first 3 years, or the last 2 years, I should say, because that's when we thought the chart, like, okay, first year, we were like, okay, they got to do. These last 2 years, the Chargers, whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's the defense, like defensively, they have not done the best job in terms of maximizing not only Justin Herbert's potential, but the team's potential as a whole. And a lot of that falls on Brandon Staley. And like I said, when contracts, that's a whole nother thing. When teams and front offices give contracts out like this, they're not only just paying the player, obviously, because Herbert is worth it and he deserves it, but this sends a message. This sends a message that we're trying to win now. This is our guy. There's no doubt about it. And players don't get fired, but coaches do. Simple as that. That's my takeaway with Herbert and him getting this new deal. Also, obviously, the next guy that's in line for that big time extension that's gonna definitely top Justin Herbert will be Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert, he's making 52. His annual salary on this contract is gonna be 52.5. Wouldn't be surprised if Joe Burrow try to aim for $54-55 million per year, which obviously Joe Burrow is worth it. I would pay if I'm Cincinnati. His deal will be done by the time you know it. By the time you know it, Joe Burrow will be the next highest paid player in football. But that is my thoughts on Justin Herbert getting paid. We're going to talk about Saquon Barkley as well. Let's move on to Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley finally signs a deal with the Giants. Now, albeit it is not a long-term deal, but they got a one-year deal done. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'll be completely honest. The running back story has become very tiring and fatigue. Like it's very tiring. I'm kind of fatigued from this controversy, especially because it's really completely simple. Like it's simple. And over the next coming weeks, obviously we're going to really do some real deep dives into the NFL. I know for the next coming episodes, I'm gonna have some special guests come on that I can't wait for you guys to listen to. I can't wait to give you guys this type of content that you guys are about to receive really, really soon. But I'm sure this topic is going to be one of the talking points. But in terms of the running back, like most of these guys that are complaining, like the Derrick Henrys, the Saquon Barkleys, the Josh Jacobs, most of the guys that are complaining are making anywhere between $10 and $12 million. They're not getting screwed. The notion and the narrative that running backs are just getting screwed and they're just so undervalued and they're like no one gives a damn about running backs, like that notion is inherently wrong, and it's just not, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And for a guy like Austin Eckler, and this is the easiest, like if I've been talking about this topic for the past couple episodes, but for the easiest way for me to break it down is to look at it like this. Austin Eckler, running back for the Chargers. Eckler goes undrafted, comes from Western Colorado University. I didn't even know that was a school. I didn't even know that was a school. I didn't know that school existed. But get this. Melvin Gordon, former first rounder, former Heisman Trophy finalist, he wants a new contract. He wants a new contract. Melvin Gordon ends up holding out, and Austin Eckler balls out, and he beats out Melvin Gordon. And Austin, with Austin Eckler's performance and his play on the field, he kind of showed you can be undrafted, not highly thought of, and outplay and replace a guy that was a first rounder. And that hasn't become the Chargers' state of mind and their thought process, but that has reigned reverence throughout the league. So, like, it's like Austin Eckler, he's setting up the zoom-ins and he's leading the charge, but it's like, he is one of the perfect reasons, and he's one of the biggest reasons as to why you shouldn't pay running backs. Because Melvin Gordon was a first rounder. Austin Eckler was undrafted out of Western Colorado University. So now it's kind of behooving, because Eckler is in the same position that Melvin Gordon was in when when Austin Eckler first entered the league. So when you have instances like this, like Austin Eckler, and there's been more and more examples, it's hard to try to sell the fact that running backs aren't replaceable when literally Austin Eckler himself is a prime example as to why running backs is easily the most replaceable position in the sport. Like, easily. So Saquon, he signs this 1 year, $11 million deal. Basically, the Giants gave him $900,000 to show up at camp. But Saquon, what he should have did, he probably should have signed the $25 to $30 million deal, the guaranteed deal that they had, that they probably offered him at first. The Giants' initial offer was probably worth anywhere between $25 to $30 million. And that was the deal that Saquon should have took. Instead, kind of plays himself where the franchise tag was worth 1 year, 10.91. I think that was 10.19. I think it was. It was slightly over $10 million. Giants gave him a 1 year deal, $11 million. And then if he has a pretty decent year this year, they're going to try to franchise tag him again. So, like, the Austin Eckler thing and then Saquon essentially folding, this is smart business from the Giants. And it's quite simple. It's simple supply and demand. And with the reason why teams pay dudes like Trent Williams is because they're way harder to replace. We just got done talking about Justin Herbert. Like, Justin Herbert, you can't replace a guy like Justin Herbert. Like, that's why a lot of people rave at the fact that, like, the Packers were able to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Because it usually doesn't happen like that at the hardest position in the sport. It doesn't happen like that, right? Like, if you don't re-sign or extend Trent Williams, I'm sorry to tell you or break it to you, you're not finding his replacement. It's going to be hard to find a 6'6", 300-pound lineman that can move and have the feet of a running back. Like, I'm sorry. It's going to be really difficult to replace that. So that is the reason why guys like Trent Williams are always going to be paid, and they're always a top or a high-end priority because they're harder to replace. Same thing with quarterback. Yes, Daniel Jones. Do I think he's overpaid the contract that he got? Yeah, I do. I do think Daniel Jones is a little overpaid. I do. But that doesn't dispute the fact or dismiss the fact that he plays a position that is way, way more harder to replace. It's harder to replace. There is some, I'm sure, in the training camps all throughout the league, there is some like a day three or even an undrafted running back that's going to end up making a squad and probably going to get some, they're going to probably see some real valuable snaps at some point this season. It always happens. It always happens. So when we talk about, like, when running backs try to make it seem like, man, like the world is just against them and, man, who gives a damn about running back? Like, no, how do you think tight ends feel? Tight ends has become one of the most undervalued positions in the sport as well. Travis Kelce had the chance to be not only a first ballot Hall of Fame. He's probably already done that. But Travis Kelce has a chance to be the greatest tight end ever. He's making $14 million. He's making like $13, $14 million. Like he has, we're talking about a guy that has seven straight 1,000-yard seasons as a tight end. What about linebackers like Fred Warner, like who is just like generational and great, like great pass coverage, great in the run. Like, what are we talking about? Zach Martin. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Zach Martin is a, he's building up and padding up a Hall of Fame resume. That's what Zach Martin is doing. And ever since day one in the league, Zach Martin has, he's been kicking ass and taking names. Day one, he was actually an all pro when he was a rookie. Zach Martin, he was an all pro caliber player as a rookie. He's underpaid. Actually, Saquon Barkley makes more money than Zach Martin. But if I was to ask you, who would you want on your team? A 22-year-old Saquon Barkley or a 22-year-old Zach Martin? Most of you guys that are logical and telling the truth and being real and not disingenuous, you're taking Zach Martin. He's a Hall of Fame caliber guard. I'm sorry. He's a Hall of Fame caliber guard. Since day one, he's came into the league. He's been kicking ass and taking names. He's a dude. He's a dude, right? Like, he's one of those guys. He's one of the best to play his position. Travis Kelce, one of the best ever to play his position. Arguably, by the time his career is over, he'll have a great argument that he's the best ever at the tight end spot. He's only making $14 million. I don't hear Travis Kelce complaining. And Travis Kelce, unlike Saquon Barkley, unlike some of these other guys, he actually, like, has, he's made, like, he makes plays. Like, he's one of the best players in football. He's arguably a top 15, top 10 player in football. But then, like, he comes through in the biggest spots that the league has to offer. So, and just ask yourself, as a team, would you want Isaiah Pacheco, who Kansas City, who's a seventh rounder, and Kansas City is literally paying him the league minimum, or do you want to be on the hook for Saquon Barkley, who's making in between $11 and $12 million? Who would you ever want? Me, I would probably go with Isaiah Pacheco. Not because Isaiah Pacheco is just better, like he's better than Saquon Barkley, no. But the gap between Saquon Barkley and Isaiah Pacheco and the gap between Trent Williams and a mediocre left tackle, it's not even close. That mediocre left tackle will never be as productive and as good as Trent Williams. Isaiah Pacheco, in the right system, in the right scheme, he can turn out to be a Super Bowl hero. Oh, yeah, that's right. He actually was this past year. He's a Super Bowl hero. He played really well in the Super Bowl, right? And with Isaiah Pacheco, with him being on the league minimum and me saving money, I could actually build out my team because it's an actual team game. Like that, like, so you have to allocate different monies to different positions. So, like, the gap between Trent Williams and a mediocre left tackle is completely and much more, it's much completely wider and bigger than the gap between Saquon Barkley and Isaiah Pacheco. The gap between Isaiah Pacheco and Saquon Barkley is not that wide. And it is not as granular as the gap between Trent Williams and a mediocre left tackle. So the notion that the running back position is getting screwed more than any other position is ridiculous. It's disingenuous when you have guys like Zach Martin who's trying to get a new deal and he is nothing but an Hall of Fame caliber player and has had a Hall of Fame caliber career. And then also Travis Kelce, who is going to arguably be the best ever as position. The whole notion that running backs are just underpaid severely, it's BS. It's hogwash. It's disingenuous. And it's ridiculous. We should stop it. It's simple business practices. Simple supply and demand. As simple as that. All right. So before I let you guys go, we're about at the 30 minute mark. So don't want to be too much longer here. But I want to present something. Because I told you guys I'm going to talk more college football. And I was thinking about something. I was like, what could be something I talk about in terms of college football that, like, that's kind of gravitating that I know you guys would be interested in? And it's this. We're going to unpack some of the biggest lies in college football. And obviously, I think in terms of overall scope of things, I think college football, I think a lot of people, like, we criticize and we bash college football, but the ratings are better than ever. The players are better than ever. The coaches are better than ever. The product is better than ever. So on the bright side, college football does have upside, and the upside of it is really good, right? But I think when I say, what is college football? What are some biggest lies? And I thought about USC and Lincoln Riley. And I thought about Lincoln Riley in general. And I thought about the general consensus and opinion on Lincoln Riley. And I think Lincoln Riley is a phenomenal offensive mind. And in the country, give or take, he's as good as it gets in college football. Right? Like, he's as good as it gets offensively in terms of offensive play caller, play designer, creativity. Doesn't get any better than Lincoln Riley. You got guys like Ryan Day who are special. But to say anyone's better than Lincoln Riley at this moment might be a stretch, but he's as good as it gets, right? You get the point. He's coached 3 out of the last 6 Heisman Trophy winners. No one can say that. And guess what? Fun fact, he is behind Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney. He is tied for 3rd for most college football playoff appearances. Now, I don't think most people view him as like an elite coach, like in that Saban, Kirby Smart, that I don't think people view him in that tier. And we're going to talk about that. Most people don't view him in that tier. A lot of it has to do with his defenses. They do leave a lot to be desired. But with a 66-13 record as a coach, Lincoln Riley can't be denied that he's one of college football's best coaches. Is he top 3? No. Is he top 5? Maybe. Certainly top 10. But the lie, or one of the biggest lies I want to talk about, is with in terms of Lincoln Riley, is there's a crowd of people who thinks he's overrated, right? And we hear this word a lot: overrated, underrated, right? We people go back and forth: who's overrated, who's underrated, and people love the talk about the overrated guys, right? The overrated guys. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you why I think it's a lie. It's one of college football's biggest lies that Lincoln Riley is overrated. And it's really simple. It's not that. I don't even think it's that hard to break down. But I disagree. I don't think he's overrated. And here's why. For you to be overrated, my first question is, well, what is he rated? Because I think we fall in love with these terms so much, we just sometimes forget simple definitions. And like when we say these words, okay, he's overrated. Well, what is he rated? What is Lincoln Riley rated? Who rates him? Because no one says Lincoln Riley is on the same level as Nick Saban. No one says that. No coach, no ranking, no college football ranking in terms of coach. Like, no one says that. No one says Lincoln Riley is in the same tier or he's the same as Kirby Smart. No one says that. No one says that. No one says that he's rated as the same as Dabo Sweeney. No one says that. No one rates him above those guys, or no one even puts him in that same category or tier as those guys. So once that question is posed to all the people that may feel like Lincoln Riley is overrated, he's just overrated. To all the people that feel like he's overrated, okay, ask them, well, what is he rated? And then you actually tell them that, like, no one rates him above or even at the same level as a Nick Saban, as a Kirby Smart, as a Dabo Sweeney. No one rates him above those guys. So at this point, And the whole Lincoln Riley is overrated. There's no like logical foundation. Like there's no logical foundation of like him being overrated, right? And then people go to, well, he doesn't win playoff games. Okay. Doesn't win playoff games. Cool. Okay. His defenses are bad. They don't know how to tackle. Okay. Well, good thing for you, I already knew that. I already know that his defenses are bad and they leave a lot to be desired. I already know that, yes, he can't and he struggles to win playoff games. But, like, did we forget the fact that he's actually in college football playoff games? Like, what are we talking about? I think it's comical. I think it's really comical when people say, oh, man, he's overrated. He can't win playoff games. Huh? Don't you know the college football playoff, right? For now, it's going to expand soon. But for now, the college football playoff, it includes four teams in the country. So you got to be the best four teams. You got to be one of the best four teams to even enter, to even be in the playoff. Mind you, I already told you, he is top three. He is tied for third for the most college football playoff appearances as a coach behind Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban. He's third. He's tied at third for the most appearances. So it's like, okay, okay, he can't win playoff games. You tell me, okay, he granted, yeah, you're right, he can't. I watch the games just like you do. He can't win playoff games. Yes, his defenses are bad, or they leave a lot to be desired. We don't even got to say bad, but his defenses leave a lot to be desired. But, like, he's actually in the playoff games? Like, how many college football coaches in college football who are really good don't even have playoff appearances? So the mere fact that, like, he's in the – like, if that's going to be the hill that you die on, that, man, he just can't win playoff games, albeit. Also, he's won double-digit games in every year that he's coached, with the exception of the COVID year, and he won 9 games that year. And on top of that, compared to some of the other conferences, he played fewer games. So when you ask people the question, okay, Lincoln Riley's overrated. When you ask people the question, well, what is he rated? And then you actually get to the point that, like, he's not rated above or at the same level that, like, he's not rated above coaches that's better than him, right? He's not rated over those guys, so he's not overrated. You actually remove the point that, okay, he can't win playoff games, but he's actually in playoff games. Okay, cool. Let's be logical here. The top three coaches in terms of that's in their own class and own tier is Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Dabo Sweeney. After that tier, the following tier is not necessarily perfection. It's some coaches that got, you know, that maybe they can't win playoff games. Maybe their defenses are not as good, up to par, not championship level. You know, and that next tier includes guys like Lincoln Riley, Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Brian Kelly. It includes those guys. So there's in that tier that I just named, not that top tier, but in that tier with where Lincoln Riley is, where I think he's perfectly rated, there's room for error. There's room for, you know, his defense is not that great. There's room for, you know, can't win that big game or the two big games. Jim Harbaugh is in the same predicament. He needs to win the playoff game. Just like Lincoln Riley. Ryan Day. It's been some time since Ohio State's won a playoff game. They need to win a playoff game. They need to get back. So what you run into after you debunk that whole notion that he's overrated, you run into the fact that people simply don't like Lincoln Riley. People simply just don't like Lincoln Riley. So they lose all logical foundation in how you properly rank coaches and how we talk about coaches, because when it comes to Lincoln Riley, people just don't like him. And for Oklahoma fans, they don't like him for obvious reasons, right? They don't like him for the way, not only for him leaving, but in the fashion that he did. And Lincoln Riley has come out and talked about how he kind of felt bad and he wished he could go, he could do, you know, it could have went another way in terms of him leaving. I don't think he doesn't apologize for leaving, but in the fashion in which he left. Yes. Okay. So OU fans don't like him. But outside of Oklahoma, outside of like the Sooner fans, people just don't like him. And I think it's a problem with I think Lincoln Riley is a victim of the hype cycle. And they lift you up and they call you the next big thing. And then you fail. You know, Lincoln Riley, his teams don't win playoff games. They get pummeled. And we like, man, Lincoln Riley, he's just not a good coach. He's overrated. Well, no. Who hyped him up? Who gave him the hype? Like, Lincoln Riley didn't give himself hype. Wasn't self-proclaimed. You did it to yourself. As media members, as people, as fans, like, you set the expectation. You set the bar. Okay, yeah, USC, like, okay, OU didn't win playoff games. They didn't win national championship. Okay, you said they were. You hyped them up. Bring your expectations down. That's all it is. But at some point, I think Lincoln Riley will figure out the defensive thing. He'll figure out the defense thing. And I will tell you this, the day he figures out the whole defensive thing with his program at USC, I think college football is inequipped to stopping Lincoln Riley. The day, because he's already winning 11 games on a yearly basis with bad defenses, right? Defenses that can't stop a nosebleed. Defenses that can't stop a headache if you gave them an aspirin, right? Like, he's already winning 11 games and getting to playoff berths. He's having college football playoff berths with, like, those type of defenses. College football, I'm telling you, it's going to be a scary day and a scary sight the moment the season that Lincoln Riley and his team figures out defense. It's going to be a scary day. It's going to be a scary day. So, I don't know. And I'm not guaranteeing that he's going to figure it out. But at some point, the pieces are going to come together, I think, in my opinion. The pieces are going to come together. And Lincoln Riley going to figure out defense. And it's going to prepare him to a national championship. Will it be this year? I don't know. Probably not. Will it be next year? I don't know. Would it be a couple years into the Big Ten conference? Maybe. Maybe that'll help. He's going to actually need to play defense in that conference. We'll see. But the whole notion that Lincoln Riley is overrated, he's not overrated. He's perfectly rated. And I'm going to cap it off right here, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will be back, like I said, this next episode will be in the weekend. You guys will be able to tune into that. I'm telling you guys, we're gonna have some special guests. Pod is gonna really, we're gonna take a, I'm trying to take a, the next turn, in terms of this podcast. I feel like we're entering into a new stage. So be on the lookout for that. Special guests probably on the next episode. Tune in, look at some previous episodes. Always remember, two choices, one decision. Peace, deuces, I'm out.